Absolutely beautiful. Thank you. Choir, Walter, Matt, from the choir loft to the congregational pew, what a beautiful sound and a beautiful sight. This fourth Sunday in Advent, we really weren't sure how many would come this morning, what with the worship services and festivities of this whole day and later this day, even here. So it is good to be gathered together. Mentioned as Lily and I were talking that we have been in conversation in the past 3 weeks. Jesus as Son of Man, as Emmanuel last week, as the Word. And that name's only a few. We have time for just one more this Advent season. Since about the 5th century, we've only been given 4 Sundays during Advent. And this is the 4th Sunday. So much is anticipated for later on this evening, for late tonight, that this morning may feel a little bit in the way, even forgotten about by some, but it's not by us at least. It can't be, for we are here to finish waiting together. And to pass the time just a little more to help with our waiting, we are exploring one more designation, one more title, one more name given to Jesus and most often heard during the Advent and Christmas time. I know that you know what it is, but before we get to that, pray with me. Gracious God, we do pause to pray in this moment that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And now listen for the word from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Messiah. For this fourth Sunday in Advent, this name, this title, this designation so familiar, and yet I'll bet still mysterious. The Hebrew word Masha means to anoint. It's used all over the Old Testament in the anointing of kings and priests and even of one prophet. The title Messiah, anointed one, occurs much less often. In fact, the future David that we hear called most familiarly a righteous shoot in the prophecies of Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel was not at first associated with that title, Messiah. The title first appears in the book of Daniel, and that's from the 2nd century BCE. It's used to designate a future anointed leader. The idea of Messiah, whether it referred to an earthly king or a future leader, is always related in the Hebrew scriptures to the idea of the covenant relationship between God and Israel. The Messiah was to be the agent of God through whom this destiny of the nation was to be fulfilled. And at its core, the idea was very simple. Israel's destiny was nothing more and nothing less than a dream of peace and prosperity to be realized under a king in David's line. That dream never came to be. Yet the belief in a Messiah that would come never died. You see, as empires came and went through ancient Israel's history, leaving Israel always to pick up the pieces of their cities and their temples and their lives, the picture of a deliverer morphed from a simple leader into a mighty warrior that would rescue the people from their distresses and subdue their enemies, into a wise ruler and judge that possessed a wisdom that was more than the wisdom of ordinary humans, or into a king whose reign would have an everlasting peace such as the world never knew. All of of these hopes stirred the imaginations and stoked the desires of the Hebrew people. By the first century BCE, the Jewish belief in the Qumran community spoke of the coming of an individual called Messiah. And from other non-canonical writings, other writings not in our Protestant Bible, there is evidence that some had come to believe that God would rescue Israel by means of a wise, royal, warrior deliverer, the Anointed One. Now, I read throughout this week that historians note that this or any other expectation of the Lord's anointed was not likely to have been too terribly important for the Jews. There just isn't much historical evidence of a widespread appeal. The role and function of this figure, the Messiah, was varied. When this Messiah would come, and the description was vague enough that when it does show up, groups could develop their own job description. Nonetheless, the stories of a deliverer and the hope those stories inspired were well known and available to any who wished to cherish them. The community that knew and followed Jesus of Nazareth decided to do just that, to define Messiah. In Greek, Christ, both meaning God's anointed, through the life and the death of Jesus of Nazareth. And they cherished what it meant to them and what it could mean for others. So what was that? What did Jesus as Messiah mean? And what could it mean? In the first century, the general Jewish messianic idea was national. It centered on the Jewish nation. It always did. Any Messiah that would come would do so to benefit the Jewish nation, which was, after all, the chosen nation of God. Jesus, as Messiah, doesn't fit into that picture. His treatment of the Gentile Roman centurion, his attitude to the Samaritan woman, the Samaritan leper, to the Samaritans in general, his attitude toward the Syrophoenician woman in the Gospels, just to name a few, expresses a universality of the good news of God beyond the nation of Israel. In addition to being nationalistic, the Jewish messianic idea was material and otherworldly. The images and the dreams of a recreated world of prosperity and fertility. It envisioned the total destruction of the present age and an inauguration of a new creation. Again, if you're remembering, Jesus doesn't fit into this dream either. One of the most significant things he ever did was to teach us to pray, "Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven." The message of Jesus is not the destruction of the world, but that the kingdom of God is to come to this world. Indeed, that it's already here. Another great function of the Messiah and the traditions that Jesus and his first century Jewish friends and followers would surely have known is that this anointed one would absolutely and completely destroy sinners. Now, understand sin in any way that it is most helpful, but the last thing that the expected Messiah of history could be called would be a savior of sinners. And finally, the Jewish picture of the Messiah is one of splendor and glory. There just isn't the faintest idea anywhere that the coming one would suffer and die on a cross, a capital punishment set aside for criminals and traitors. So again, we ask, how in the first century Jewish world could Jesus ever be considered the Messiah?
And our answer must be that to those who followed him in his life, to those who followed him even after his death, Jesus redefined the meaning and the function and the purpose of Messiah, God's anointed. Jesus lived for a messiahship whose reign was in the heart of humanity, not beyond it. Jesus taught a messiahship that found God's anointed in anyone who, like him, brought good news to the poor, proclaimed release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and who freed the oppressed. And Jesus died for a messiahship whose only power was sacrificial love. Son of man, one like a human being. Emmanuel, God with us. The Word made flesh. And Messiah, God's anointed here and now. There is contentious scholarly debate on whether or not Jesus ever spoke of himself using any of these terms during his lifetime. But there should be no doubt that while he lived, Jesus accepted these God-given roles. Fully human, made in the flesh, and anointed by God to reflect God with us. Jesus of Nazareth had the courage to be all he was created by God to be. And so divine. The question that remains for us, a question that we must engage on the eve of the holy day we anticipate tomorrow, is what about us? What about us? We started 4 weeks ago. Maybe, just maybe, we are the ones we're waiting for. Maybe this year, this Christmas, we'll finally get it and realize that we aren't waiting for Jesus to arrive. He is with us. We are waiting for ourselves to show up. What do you think? We have only hours left to decide. May it be so. Amen.